On the line now, I have Colette Bennett, research and policy analyst with Social Justice Ireland. Good afternoon. How are you, Colette?
I'm wonderful. Well, now, how are you doing?
Okay, good weekend, good weather. Looking forward to that. Okay, just to talk about the findings you've had from the National Social Monitor, sort of talking about sustainability in this particular edition. So, give us some key findings in it.
So that's right. I mean, we decided we'd do this because really when people start talking about sustainability or thinking about it, if they think about it at all, they tend to think about, climate action, and climate action maybe alone. Whereas really what we were trying to get across is the fact that it impacts on every aspect of every person's life. So what we do with the National Social Monitor is we take 10 policy areas and we just do a briefing on each one, a two-pager on each area. So, for example, when we talked about sustainability from the housing perspective this time round, we looked at, how energy efficiency has an impact. So, for example, older homes or homes with a BER rating, so an energy rating, that's quite low. So we know, for example, there's 58,500 homes that have BER certs that are at the lowest end, so their rating is G. They're very inefficient. We know that they tend to be owned by people on a lower income or older people. They tend to be older homes. They tend to be in less repair. They also use, they're more likely, to use coal or other fossil fuels. So that's all having an impact. It's having an impact on climate. It's having an impact on your pocket. And what we're saying is, there are solutions around this. We need a retrofitting program. Now, of course, we saw the issues with the sustainable energy grants and how that's all still up in the air. But really, even aside from all of that, the point that we're making is they weren't fit for purpose anyway, because it was the people that really needed them and really needed to use them that were least likely to be able to take access. Because, you have to pay for the works up front and then you apply for the grant. If you don't have the money, if you're on a very low income, if you're an older person on a pension and you just don't have it, you're not going to have the money available to pay those costs and to get that grant. So what we're looking at is a new way of doing this and a new type of model. They use it in the Netherlands, they use it in Finland, they use it a bit in the United Kingdom, where you can recoup the cost. So everything is paid up front and then you recoup an element of it through the government can recoup an element of it through your utility bill. So really that's what we were looking at from that angle. When we talked about the health aspect of it, we looked at people who have respiratory illnesses. So we know there's been an increase of about 15% in both certain types of cancers that have an impact on the respiratory system. So your throat, your lungs, your bronchus. Those cancers have increased by about 15%. Same with respiratory diseases, other types of respiratory diseases. Deaths by these cancers and respiratory diseases have increased to that level. So we're looking at, what is the problem here? What's causing this? So we know, for example, we have a very high level of greenhouse gas emissions. We also know, thanks to the Environmental Protection Agency, they reported last July that there's a huge increase in the levels of nitrogen oxide in Dublin. So what that means is really we've got an awful lot of pollutant in the air, and particularly in Dublin city centre. The advice at the time was, well, lift your children above the level of the cars. Now, if that's the best you can get, that's a serious policy failure.
Indeed, yeah.
And what do you do with the other vulnerable people? Are you lifting people in wheelchairs? Are you lifting your elderly above the side of your head? Do you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make sense. So what we're saying is, okay, we know that we need to invest in public transport. We know that we need to get people to kind of move across to, hybrids or electric vehicles if that's their only means of transport. But also in terms of, well, what's it doing to the health system? So we have a 95% occupancy rate in our hospitals, which means if you need a bed today, you've got a 5% chance of getting it. So we need, we need to look at, so the majority of these types of illnesses can be dealt with at a community level. They can be dealt with in primary care centres if the primary care networks existed.
Okay, things were done properly.
Care was meant to introduce that back in 2016. It still hasn't been invested in. And we're looking at budget 2020 now that needs to start making the investment that we need in communities.
Yeah, it's to see that the impact across the board that affects other agencies and sort of alleviates spending and whatever in the health service and all this sort of thing. Everything has a good purpose and it's a prevention rather than a cure. I just want to go on to one of the things you talked about, transport and the time for flexibility. I think it's a bone of contention with a lot of people that if you were to get, say, firms or whatever, where people work or whatever it may be, to have some flexible time, it would alleviate traffic on the road, maybe encourage people to get on public transport. But the big thing is like traffic jams in the morning for schools and stuff like that. It always amazed me that they haven't done something like that. Apart from people walking, but they haven't done it with schools.
It's madness, no. Yeah. Like, Dublin City has an enviable public transport. Like, I'm from Dublin, I now live in a rural area, and what I wouldn't give to have the bus and the Lewis and the train network that's in Dublin City Centre. And yet, there are almost 20,000 people commuting for an hour or more in Dublin City, in the Dublin City area. You know, we've got a huge amount of people. There's about 95,500 people that are still using private transport, that are still relying on their car to go to work. I mean, that's a behavioural change issue. People need to be incentivised to really use the public transport that is there. I mean, if only 23% of the people that are living in Dublin are using public transport to go to work, that's a waste, an absolute waste, and it's having a huge impact. So you think you're in your car for an hour or more every day on your way to work. The impact that that's having, it has an increase in greenhouse gas emissions, it's got an increase in air pollutants, it's got a decrease in the level of well-being, both for yourself as the commuter, but also of the people around you. So again, we're back to that, you know, increasing in respiratory illnesses and the level of pollutants mm-hmm. in the air. So what we had suggested was two things, really. And I suppose it applies more so for rural areas than Dublin in terms of getting a public transport system functioning across the country, mm-hmm. But also in terms of having a green public transport system, so using more hybrids and more electric vehicles. But for those who can and who are, say, based in other centres, having flexible working arrangements makes a huge difference. So not everybody has to be at a desk 9 to 5. We're looking at automation. We're looking at, you know, teleconferences and web calls and all of those things. And they should be, where they can be, they should be availed of and made use of by employers. So employers shouldn't need to have, you know, a room full of people at a desk. They should be allowing more flexible work, which would then in turn, you know, have a greater impact on the environment, because people aren't doing these kinds of commutes.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are just stuck in the bind of, it's like someone maybe taking out the same insurance or whatever every year without querying other ones or whatever it may be. Just habits, yeah. That's the way it is. How do you feel about the changes and the flexibility for kids going to school? There's always talk about darkness and lightness and stuff like that with the hour. So if you were to suggest sort of to alleviate traffic around the same time every morning, it seems to be everyone's going to work at 9, the kids are going to be in the school at 9 and that sort of thing, and that's the congestion is mainly between 8 and 9:30 in the morning.
Absolutely. I mean, I think all of these things are worth exploring, definitely. You know, and I know that there's been a lot of research behind, you know, when kids' brains and teenagers' brains really come alive, like that, you know, the school day may not be the best for them. I wouldn't profess myself to be any sort of an expert in that area. But, I mean, it does need to be looked at. As you say, there's congestion at particular times. Everybody knows when they are. So to try and work around that, I think we're probably more likely to deal with individual employers and to, you know, to really get across to employers, because people are having a bit more of an awareness of their impact on the environment, and to get, you know, buy-in, I suppose, from employers for their flexible arrangements for staff before we get perhaps the Department of Education to change the school times. But I think everything would help if you can stagger it in any way. It would make a huge difference.
Yes, yes. Okay, well, I think we're running out of time. I think we'd have to leave it there. People want to read up the latest on the findings from the National Social Monitor from Social Justice Ireland. Open your website, of course, Colette.
It is indeed, socialjustice.ie, and it's there in our publication section.
Okay, I mean, the government's very hard of me talking about it, and they seem to they'd rather pay off fines, which they're going to have to do for their lack of action on climate change. That's what they're going to be spending a lot of the money on over the years, rather than doing something about it. When some, as you stated here in the findings, it can be not simple, but easier to work out and cheaper.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, at a time when we've got the Children's Hospital, when we've got rural broadband, when we've got constant overruns in the health service, you know, we've better things to be spending our money on that we really could make a difference with some minor changes, some big, but some small.
Okay. Thank you very much, Colette. Always a great pleasure talking to you. Thank you.
Thanks a million, Noel. Take care.
Bye-bye. And that's Colette Bennett, Research and Policy Analyst with Social Justice Ireland. And again, as I say, you can look up their website.